It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say Worldwide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think there were some good things in there, and then I think there was some plays that each of them would want back. Every game for every position isn't going to be hunky-dory. You know, using two safeties that were here before, Mike and Jordan, every game wasn't. The only thing that matters about the last game is what we do moving forward and understanding the improvements we got to make. Like I said, they each did some good things, and there were some plays that they would want back. There's no doubt that they're aware of that, like every player is, and they want to be really good. They put the work in to be really good, and we'll just continue to bank the reps. If we're peaking right now, we're peaking at the wrong time.
Bobby Babich, Bills defensive coordinator. Some grades, you know, you're all your different levels to ways to analyze how players did, and the Bills had some good, some bad. Again, could Ed Oliver be the AFC Defensive Player of the Week? He could. Mm-hmm. He was PFF's highest graded defensive tackle in the entire league. Mm-hmm. Then you have TJ Sanders in his first career game. PFF ranked him 101st out of 103 mm-hmm. defensive tackles. The linebackers, Milano and Bernard, out of 67 graded linebackers, they were 64th. Tie. They were both really, really bad grades for linebackers and interior line. So the Bills had some passengers and some drivers when it comes to this game in their win against Baltimore. 803-0550. And Babich there saying something that I would tend to agree with. I don't know about, you know, you don't exactly all pick when you peak, but for the Bills defense, it was probably always going to be a work in progress, right? They drafted a lot of guys. First round pick, hurt. Second round pick, all right. Learn. Third round pick, inactive. Fourth round pick, mm-hmm. learning on the job. So, you know, you've got pieces that hopefully will find their spots, learn their jobs. Developmental coaching is something this organization prides itself on. I don't want to get worried about the defense till we're a good 10 weeks into the season. That might be too long. That might be giving them too much of a pass, but, you know, it's probably always going to be a work in progress, and they won't face a test that tough for weeks.
No, they won't. And that's an offense that they just played where you could have a really good defense and it just might still look like that sometimes.
This week might
be that Ravens offense can do that to, and I don't think there's a defense in the league the Ravens can't do that to.
Right. This week might be really good context because the Jets ran the ball well against Pittsburgh. Breece Hall looked good. Justin Fields, they moved the ball and they scored their points. If the Bills hold the Jets to 20, aren't you immediately going to feel a little bit better. Like, all right, you know, the pressure you got on Lamar. Lamar is elite at evading sacks. And Justin Fields is terrible at it.
He's really bad at it.
Even though he's mobile, he's terrible at that. So we'll see. This week could give us some good context. You want to give us a call on how to keep things going on the offense and maybe get to better results earlier, or how to do the same with defense? Of course, that's more of a week-to-week thing for offense. We're talking about if the Bills need to change things a little bit in the first half. Be more aggressive. Feel like they should pass it more often than they did earlier on. You had some numbers on their second and short numbers too, right? Like second and one, third and ones.
So in the last year since the Bills, Joe Brady became the full-time offensive coordinator, they have a very easy-to-see trend on second and short, which is often like statistically proven, I think, is like the most like take advantage of that play. Second and short, you can get tons of yards on that type of play. And the Bills just do not take their shots. On second and one, since last year, the Bills have attempted 3 passes on second and one to 15 runs. This is not including like when they get down by the goal line, obviously. And they're averaging like 3.5 yards a carry while averaging 9 yards a pass when they're throwing it. And when it's second and two or second and one, the Bills have thrown it 6 of 7 times. 6 for 7 passing the ball versus 25 runs. Which, like, they're getting first downs on 70% of these runs, but you're barely doing it. You're getting it by an extra yard or two, whereas these passes are effective, and you're getting chunks. And the Bills coordinator, this is one of the most nitpicky parts for me about his play calling that bothers me.
Second and short.
Is they just, they treat a four-yard run on second and two like that's a successful play. And it isn't.
Well, by EPA, it is.
But it really isn't.
I know.
It feels like a wasted play.
It's a new set of downs. And that is, it's not even a trend. I would say that is part of, well, that's fundamental to the Bills' offense under Joe Brady. And that's what they did in the playoff game against the Chiefs that they ultimately lost. In that game, there are a lot of second and shorts, and they ran, I mentioned it a lot, they used to have it committed to memory. I think it was 10 out of 13 they ran.
Yep.
So they are a
second. And that lines up with about what they've done over the last two years.
So they are a second and short run the ball team. We earned a second and short. Right. Let's get a new set of downs. That's the way that Brady seems to operate.
Which plays like you play like you're afraid of third and two. Or fourth and two, for that matter. With this quarterback. Which third and two, fourth and two should be less scary to a team with this quarterback than any other team in the league. He can just broken play, third and two, fourth and two. Like, oh, that play call didn't work at all. Josh got five. First down. Yeah. I've got three downs to get that amount of yardage. And on these second down situations, that's when they should be attacking these defenses. If I were a defense, I'd be terrified of, man, they feel like they got a free play here. I got the best quarterback in the world, and he's about to go after me because he knows he's got two plays in his back pocket to get 2 yards after this, and the Bills consistently pass on it. Like, not pass. Like,
They pass on passing.
Like, yeah. No, we're good. We'll... I feel like you're almost letting the defense off the hook. Like, if I'm a defense, I just go ahead, take it. Well, it's not run the play. It's second and two. Take the first down. Right. First and 10 at the same spot. I'll make that trade with you if I'm a defense. And the Bills consistently make that trade with the other team.
Yeah, because there's a game theory thing here. There's a feeling of you're facing second and one against a Josh Allen offense. Well, my chances of getting him off the field on second and one are really low.
Yeah.
Let's try again in first and 10. I'll give you 1 yard.
Right.
And let's get a new set of downs.
Don't take 30 from me. Like, I'll give you one, and you can start over here. And the Bills are the team that is looking for that.
And then, of course, like in the opening couple drives, the second and one and third and one, they weren't even successful.
Yeah. Right. Which I think that's rare. I think even if you hand it to Cook and you take Allen out of the equation, which is what they did there, it's probably pretty rare that if you ran the ball twice, you wouldn't get it. That wouldn't be my part of the criticism, but they did. You do open yourself up to that. Yeah. You're averaging 3 yards a pop on those plays versus the 9 when Allen's dropping back to pass in that situation. Again, it's a nitpicky part of that game, of his play calling, but go attack him on those spots.
803-0550 is our phone number. Mike in Orchard Park is next up. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. So basically, I'm not. I don't know if we could really get a fair analyst from this game. Both these teams are top of the league, man. Like, there's some ballers on both sides of the ball. Between the Ravens, I was looking. Ronnie Stanley, PPF ranked him, one of the top offensive linemen of the week there. Both good football players, and I felt they won some reps and against us, and obviously, Ed Oliver and our defensive line won some reps against them. So I don't know if I'm going to write off the Bills defense just yet. I would like to see them, finish them up this September. Obviously, I feel with the Patriots and the Jets, we're going to get their best, right? And I feel they're going to try to expose some of the stuff they found on film. Joey Bosa, I think if he's playing a different quarterback, I think he probably has 2 sacks. So. I feel a lot of what we've seen on film Sunday night is correctable and is coachable. So, moving forward here, I want to see some more, film and kind of give a fair analysis of kind of where our defense stands. And as far as our offense, I felt we built some confidence in the fourth quarter. I felt maybe Josh Allen and, Brady was more timid, with the play calling. So I'm kind of curious to see, where we move as an offensive unit, and hopefully, we could, Josh Allen could build some more confidence with his new receiving corps.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, the new receiving corps, they all have different things that they excel at. Palmer did a nice job getting open on that 30-yard gain on the final drive.
Mm-hmm.
Coleman, again, he got tripped on the play, but you start to see He's such an interesting receiver, Coleman is, because he's so good after the catch, which is not, I don't know, Joe, how many guys ever have been not good at separating from their men, but then when they have the ball in their hands, they're very good at separating from their men. You know, like he gets away from people and he's strong and he's tough to bring down. So Coleman has his strengths, no doubt about it. And I don't know if we should be expecting 8 for 112 every week. That's a game where the numbers kind of get crooked because of the circumstances. But you know, he was what they needed him to be. He drew a penalty or two. He comes up with a big third down. Like, he was super important to what they did, and there's no doubt Allen looks for him. And and sometimes when he doesn't look for him, Coleman, it's a testament to him, right, that he's always finding Allen. Go back to that touchdown against the Jets last year that's intended for Ty Johnson, and then this one that's deflected. Coleman is finding his way back to his quarterback. That's for sure, even when the quarterback's not looking for him.
That's definitely true. I mean, these plays where he's scrambling around, those are Gabe Davis plays from back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, when Allen is buying time, who's the guy that's heading downfield? He's trying to, you know, mesh with where his quarterback is going because half the field's going to get taken away. And Davis was very good at that. And Coleman, you had a couple of those plays last year. There was the one against the Lions, remember, where Josh got rocked on the play and Coleman had gone over there and like headed down the field and it was like a 50-yard gain.
Yeah.
Him being that guy, I mean, because really, once he gets out into that open space, he's the guy I do want with the ball in his hands. If he could, and that was something Davis would catch in those areas, and then that was it. Like, he would fall down there, or he'd get tackled immediately. And Coleman, I'd like to think, can create more than that. They tried to get him worked in, by the way, in screens a little earlier, but he just dropped it, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a play. That's a player I'd rather throw that screen to. They're throwing to tight ends on some of these plays. If you're going to run them, and ideally don't do it on 3rd and 6, I mean, Coleman might be my favorite idea for that right now.
Greg in Toronto is next up. Hey, Greg.
Good morning, gentlemen. So, Joe, to your earlier point, I'm old enough to remember when Jim Kelly used to call his own plays all the time. He went as far as saying that if he was unable to call his own plays, he would retire. Are we not at a point where, because let's face it, the second half of that game, you know, you could tell Josh was able to do more of what he wanted to do or what the team needed him to do. So where are we on just letting the man call his own plays? Let him do what he needs to do. I think if he was able to do that, you know, the team has had a lot of success. They'd even be more successful.
I think there is some of that. This screen we're talking about on 3rd and 6, Allen,
he checked
to it, which I think is also what happened in the AFC Championship game when he did it to Cooper.
Right, which there's a point to be made about when a quarterback checks into a play. Does that now go to the quarterback? Sure, it's his decision, right? He checks in that play. Mm-hmm. He sees something he likes. He makes a check. Of course, the checks you put in are a function of the offense.
Right.
There's an audible. There's a check. A check is just we're gonna run this instead versus a full on changing the full play.
There's also in the original play that you called in that
you don't
Allen
like,
doesn't like in the first place.
Or it's, yeah, right. Yeah,
if you had called a different play, maybe he doesn't check to a screen.
Maybe, maybe not.
I don't know.
I want to give Allen, of course, freedom. He takes tons of freedom after the snap. That's when he maybe is at his best.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, this is where we go back to Ken Dorsey's name came up a lot this week. When we would talk about that decision, Dorsey is time for a change. You want someone that has this job to bring out the best in Josh. And what Brady has done is get the great Superman player without the kryptonite mixed in, right? The turnovers, the turnover-worthy plays, the blatant disregard for the football. I mean, Allen used to fumble a lot and throw interceptions at a high rate, and that has been, you know, kind of reined in. So I don't know if I want to go all the way to, you know, remove the offensive coordinator from the equation, because there's no doubt they've found a pretty good mix. And, you know, any conversation we're having today is about, like, tweaking it. Like, maybe throw it some more. Maybe don't run on 2nd and 1.
And really, it's all in the context of how they would play the Ravens again for me.
Right, yeah, that's a big part.
Because a lot of this is not going to be needed against Atlanta or Miami, or Houston when they put Pittsburgh, like even these, those teams I just mentioned aren't bad, bad teams. They're like middling teams in the league, and I don't think it's as important when you're playing teams like that. But when you're playing Baltimore, I just think you got to be, you probably got to be perfect. Most times, unless they have the lead and blow it like they did at the end, which they can do too.
Gina in Delaware. Hey, Gina, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. I obviously, I am still trying to do a little woosah this morning because at 3 a.m., I'm watching reels of the stadium. Josh Allen going to Pater. Welcome to Buffalo, baby. Hearing Pater say, I looked at Josh, and of course I can't quote him, but the vibe of, I just do want to do right by you, bro. I just want to do right by Buffalo. And he did. 2 points I want to bring up with the Ravens game, and then I'm on to the Jets. Number one, Chris Collinsworth, who I can't stand, by the way, but we got to listen to him, said, you challenge your manhood when you play the Ravens. The teams go up to the line. There's no smash talking. That's what he said. I'm just paraphrasing. They have total respect for each other. And I couldn't be more proud of the Bills and how they played. First game, strong energy against the Ravens. Weak secondary, strong rookie performance. Okay, those rookies showed up big time. Coleman, he must have caught my vibes, man, because I was calling on his name in Kincaid, and he was catching my vibes like he was doing those balls. And Ed Oliver, man, that one play, I see him in my mind. I think his name is Falele or something, number 77. He pushed him over like a Pringle potato chip. So those are my points. And so, oh, my God, I'm on the – oh, my God, guys, I'm so sorry. I almost got ran over by a maniac here. I apologize my language.
Okay.
All right, one more point. The Jets. Let's not poo-poo the Jets. We can't poo-poo them. Their defense is strong. The Bills play to the audience. Okay, go Bills. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gina. I don't know if the Jets' defense is good. They gave up 4 touchdown passes to Aaron Rodgers.
They did not look great in week one. The secondary of Round Sauce Gardner looked like it was getting exposed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Like, hey, that's an interesting matchup, but can... Even if Gardner takes away, like, Coleman, if he follows Coleman around, then, all right, Josh Palmer, go. Calvin Austin was beating those Jets corners last week, so I would like to think Palmer can. So it'll be an interesting matchup.
Thanks, Gina. Hope everything's okay there. I mean, drive safe.
Yeah.
803-0550. We are getting to get into let's not look past this team season. And I just got a little bit of,
yeah,
it's going to happen. We are talking about the Super Bowl. We're not going to stop talking about the Super Bowl. We're not going to stop talking about the one seed. We're not going to stop talking about the race with Baltimore or Kansas City or whatever. I mean, the season exists as a storyline. And, hey, just focus on the Jets. Like, respectfully, no. There'll be plenty to talk about and focus on the Jets.
Yeah.
The Bills will be major favorites. They're favored to win every game. By the way, they won't be favored to win every game. They were favored to win every game, then became underdogs against Baltimore.
Right.
But So maybe they played the nobody believes in us card. The Bills in this game are 7-point favorites. That is a little smaller than...
On the road?
Yeah. 7 points.
Road 7-point favorite is a pretty healthy amount of respect.
Okay.
That would mean they'd be a 10-point favorite over the Jets here.
I mean, more than that, probably.
They're 1.5 is about home field now.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, like 3 total, I would think.
They are the second biggest favorite of the week. The biggest favorite of the week is Baltimore, 11.5 home against the Browns.
Okay. It's just the Jets. If it were the there are a handful of teams. If they were playing the Bengals week 2, we'd be like, I think all in on like what this matchup is.
Mm-hmm.
All this early in the week. I mean, we will definitely do that later in the week, but it's Justin Fields and the Jets. I don't know. It's not the sexiest opponent out of the gates.
It's Justin Fields. There's just absolutely no excuse for this team to lose to Justin Fields.
Correct.
That's it. He is a sack machine.
Joey, but what's the over on Joey Bosa in this game?
I'll take a sack.
You want Bosa like over? What line can I get in like him to get two sacks?
Give me an Ed Oliver sack. I'll take an Ed Oliver sack. Dan in North Carolina. Hey, Dan.
Hey guys, play call on second down discussion. My son and I, adult son, got into a rather spirited debate about this last night. He wants to blame McDermott for everything. I mean, it's, you know, just whatever. He's that guy. I'm not really a huge McDermott guy, but I guess I'm somewhat of a McDermott apologist because I think that being the head coach is more than just, you know, second down play call on offense or defense during a game. It's the whole management of the whole freaking thing. I mean, it's a big job, and I think he's done a good job. Has he been perfect? No. Are people ever going to let the 13 seconds deal go? Probably not till he wins, you know, whatever. But back to the point of the play call on second down. My kid wants to blame McDermott for everything. And I said, he has an OC. You know, the defense giving up all the yards on the ground. You know, he's a defensive coach. It shouldn't. I agree, but he's not the DC. I mean, his position is, don't you think that, you know, I mean, he's really an ultimate, you know, I'm a small business owner. I work with my son. I got to listen to him all the time. You know, I mean, I'm in charge of everything. I'm ultimately responsible for everything. Well, so is McDermott. But I said, he can't micromanage every aspect of it. Do you actually think he's demanding that the guy run the ball on second down? I mean, he has an OC. Well, you know, the defense, the alignments, you know, back in 13 seconds, maybe I do blame him for that. I don't know, but I think he's probably grown and learned. He delegates. He has coordinators. Who, with the running the ball on second down and one, drives me crazy too. Who's, I mean, is it the OC or is it, you know, really McDermott's philosophy? You know, what do you think? And I'm if you could leave me on, I'd like to be able to listen to your response.
Sure thing, Dan. Thanks for the phone call. I do think it is – I'm going to go a little both sides here, so I might cheat a little bit. But I also want to lay out like what I think is a reality about McDermott. I think it is reasonable to suggest that the coordinator does things the coach wants from a identity standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. It's how it works. Coordinators and coaches sometimes argue, fight, don't get along. The reports of Brian Daboll and McDermott maybe clashing from time to time. Why would that be? He doesn't like the balance they have over here. He would sometimes say, we need to have the threat of running the football. Brian Daboll would sometimes open games 17 consecutive passes, right? And if that worked, great. And if it didn't work, we got to get back to running the ball. When they play in Houston, right? The Bills open up with three passes in a very late drive, and McDermott wants them to run, but the coordinator calls. So I feel like there's always a balance. The reality is that we don't know what that balance is, how they strike it, how they do it. But one thing that I think is undeniable is that if the offense has bad things, you blame the defensive head coach. And if the offense has good things, the defensive head coach does not get any credit. McDermott gets very little credit for Josh Allen being Josh Allen. Does right?
Right.
Very, very little credit for that. They've scored a million points. They were the highest scoring, second highest scoring team in the league last year behind only Detroit. McDermott gets no credit for that. It's just a reality on the way that people kind of perceive defensive coach, offensive coach, and on, is if you have an offense that is number one in scoring and your coach is a defensive guy, they didn't score that because of that guy. That's the best I got.
Yep.
So, Dan, as you fight with your son, I think you both have points. Does he flat out call down and say, run it on second and one? Or does the coordinator have the job because the head coach likes that? They have an agreement in the way that they run things? You know, it's
Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's maybe a little bit of all of it. They have a great offense. Does your son give McDermott credit for having a great offense? Ask him that. That's what I would come back with. Oh, you think he calls second and one? Did he call all the plays that got all the points too, or just the ones that you didn't like, right? Like, I'm sure, you know, I feel like we had this conversation with Sal a lot. Like, hey, he doesn't get credit for the good stuff, only gets criticized for the bad stuff. Anyway, 803-0550, Howard's here to pick the Bills. Boy, I bet, let me tell you.
It's going to be a good week for that.
During Sunday night, those sounds you heard in the air, it was probably Howard screaming from his basement bunker. You made it through the game. He made it.
He stayed up.
He stayed up. I mean, I'm glad you made it. He was going through stress, I bet. We'll talk about it on the other side. 803-0550. Howard picks the Bills next.
Well, it's just something I wanted to tell him. Like, I know we don't know each other that well yet, but I just want to let you know, like, I know I just got here, and it may not be perfect right now, but I'm going to do everything I can to try to be perfect, just help this team win while I'm here.
I got a great idea for the bet board, Joe.
Okay.
You decide which side of this you want to take. I was going to pick the Bills here. Do you want to take... No, what's that? You can guess this too, Howard.
Okay.
The bet board is missing like three or four spots.
Yeah.
We gotta fill them in. So
me and Howard have a very faded bet up there. Very faded.
What's it from?
It says, will Justin Fields throw for over 4,000 yards in a season?
Oh, wow. Who took yes?
I took yes on the...
Yikes.
Well, I might as well just pay you now.
What's he on pace for now? Here's the bet on the bet board. You decide which side of it you want. $5. Will you see a Matt Prater jersey at Highmark Stadium this year?
That's it.
I want to bet the Miami game we're talking, right? He might not be around past the fourth game.
I want to bet yes. What number is he wearing? 15?
Yeah.
15 Matt Prater jersey.
First off, are they making Matt Prater jerseys?
You can make one.
You could custom.
You just make one?
Make one.
You're saying if you have a 15.
I'm saying, will someone
would you have?
Commemorate that game with a Prater jersey? That's what I'm saying.
Whose 15 jersey would you have? I'm trying to remember who
that's
wore
a good
15.
Way to play this. Like, if you Jack had Eichel. A 15 jersey.
How do I feel like Todd Eichel. Collins like, wore 15?
Who would you replace the nameplate with?
Right.
Did George Wilson ever wear 15 when he was a receiver?
Oh. I just remember him in 37.
Yeah.
Jake Kumerow wore 15, but any like starter right. that wore 15 would have did a quarter. Jack Kemp wore 15, but I don't know. If there's like a starting. There's not a quarterback.
Jack Kemp. Nice job.
Right? There's no quarterback?
I thought Todd Collins wore 15.
Didn't John Brown wear 15?
Yeah.
John Brown wore 15. Yeah, I think that's good. Right?
Yep.
That would be the one.
Chris Hogan.
None of these are getting swapped to Prater, right?
Did DeMar wear 15? It says Hamlin had 15.
Don't remember that. No, I wouldn't replace any of those with okay. Prater, probably. They were too good in their time.
Well, Howard, how did the Sunday night game treat you? You were in the bunker.
I came through 100% healthy.
Good.
I can't say the same for my television, but I came through fine.
Yeah.
I was rather mostly calm. There would have been an occasional shouting about something about lack of tackling and please make a stop type thing. There might have been some juicy words peppered in there. But I'm 100% truth. I thought they were going to lose. And it wasn't about the offense. It wasn't about Josh Allen not being able to score. Who saw the defense making three straight stops in the fourth quarter?
Right.
There was just at 40-25 when the Bills punted, gave them the ball back, what, about like 9 minutes left? I'm researching, you know, worst home losses under Sean McDermott. That's how confident I was. So I didn't think they'd come back to win, but I just didn't think the defense would be able to do what they did.
Right.
Last three drives were
especially,
8 plays, 17 yards.
It's like I could have even believed, like, okay, maybe they'll get a turnover here, and they did.
Yep.
I texted a couple people, like, they're not winning this game without a turnover.
Right.
They got that, but
well, they also
thought they needed two. They needed to force two punts.
They sandwiched 2 3 and outs around that.
Right.
Fun question. Do they win the game if they get the 2-point conversion? And it's 40-40.
If they get the 2-point conversion.
And it's 40-40, do they win?
Let's toss the coin and find out.
What's different
is Baltimore's trying to score.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to run it out.
And they would have had.
It's 40-40.
They would have had how much time at that point?
Plenty.
Yeah. And timeouts.
You're saying they go for 4
They would have tried to score.
Well, not even go for 4
down. They call first and second differently.
Yeah. They're trying to get in range.
Yeah, they don't want to play for overtime.
If you make the 2-point conversion.
That's not bad. Yeah, because they're not calling a jet sweep to Zay Flowers on 2nd and 10.
No.
If they're tied.
What was that call?
It was a bad call
that
in the first
ridiculous.
Place. But they're not making it if they're tied.
You almost
they're doing something else.
You almost wonder if like McDermott, when asked about all the 2-point conversion decisions, said they changed based on wanting to keep Baltimore playing it like a one possession game in one of them versus. So it's not just score effects. It's what will this do? And this is actually really good process from the Bills or for any team. What will this do to the way they're going to play it? Hmm. And in that moment, before the Bills go for two to try and tie the game, you might wonder if we could pause and have a discussion. Should we want them to get this?
Yeah.
Because if they don't get it, mm-hmm. Baltimore will be more conservative.
Which they were.
They were.
Right.
And if mm-hmm. they get it, now the Ravens are like, all right, great, 3 minutes, we'll just move down the field like we have the entire game.
Yeah. The second down call was, I mean, just give the ball to Henry or have Lamar Jackson run. Why are you using Zay Flowers on a jet sweep?
Right.
And then nice stop by Christian Benford on third down.
Well, we didn't bring it here to make nice.
Are you still basking in the glory of Baltimore, or is today, have you turned towards the Jets today?
No, not to the Jets.
Not yet?
No.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, definitely.
Still
definitely
enjoying Baltimore.
Not yet on the Jets.
That was fun, that game.
It was incredible.
It was absolutely amazing. I've seen like gazillions of games.
Yep.
So have you. That's one of the best games I've ever seen in my time watching the Bills.
It's absolutely the second greatest comeback in their team's history, right?
Maybe
not in terms of how much they came back from, but like wins at the stadium.
In terms of fashion, I couldn't think of another one off the top of my head.
I'll give you one that crossed my mind, but it's different because, you know, the drought Bills, what were the stakes?
Yeah.
Versus, everybody knows, potential AFC Championship preview, one seed.
Tiebreaker.
To me, this was the craziest comeback since. It might be the Fitz Bills against the Raiders. Where the Fitz scream comes out, they score late.
Yeah, yeah.
In that game, the Bills get back in it. Then the Raiders get a long touchdown to Johnny Lee Higgins.
Oh, wow. That's
Johnny Lee Higgins.
Yeah. And Whitner tackles him in the end zone and gets a flag.
Yep.
And the Bills still rally to win that game. And it was crazy.
Yeah. But they were down 21-3 at the half.
Yeah. And back then, a win like that was, hey, wow, look at us. We did something cool.
But you're
whereas,
right. It doesn't,
whereas now,
it doesn't compare.
There's
right.
so much more context. It's the freak
Let
show.
The final season.
Right.
The home opener. Prime time. Mm-hmm. The reigning MVP. And you fall flat on your face and give up 40 points. Yeah, that's amazing. It really is.
Pretty great. I got a text here. The Broncos, Bill scored 20.
Yeah, 21 points in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, off of a Nate Odom's block. Something?
Oh, I think so. I can't. Mm. That's we're talking like early 90s
like
here.
92.
And something. It was just a freakish stretch of things that happened in the span of a few minutes. But they were, I don't know. Go ahead. I have to look that one up.
Let's have Howard pick the Bills.
Yes.
A tradition unlike any other.
Why are they losing?
I think it's you guys and your negativity. My guess is this show is just crushing these guys at this point, and it probably is weighing on them.
Yeah, right.
Mentally.
That might be right.
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills!
Home opener, final year at Highmark, prime time, place is going to be nuts. I will take the Bills. It's going to be a great game.
Allen has time. Now pressure coming from Van Noy. Throws, it's high, and it's caught in the end zone by Keon Coleman. Here's the snap, hold is down, kick on the way, and it is good. And Matt Prater, in his first game as a Buffalo Bill, has won the ball game here in week one.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Time for Howard to pick the Bills. And, you know, we'll run through the schedule, see how we feel. It's going to be a nice little run here, we would think. The Bills are 1-0. They go to the Jets to play New York to play the Jets. The Jets had a nice opener.
Good. Yeah, their offense looked good.
It took a 60-yard field goal to beat them late. So Bills-Jets.
I watched that whole game.
Moral victory for the Jets?
A little bit? You know, Jets fans won't look at it that way because, you know, their Jets fans have gone through a little pain. But I thought the offense looked promising. I really did. I thought, well, we know Breece Hall is really good. And I thought Fields did okay. I think it's going to be a fairly conservative game plan that leans on running the ball. But their defense was not good. I know Josh has had some struggles in years past against the Jets. But I think he should be able to carve that defense up. So I'll take the Bills.
Bills win. And then play a team that, they look like they are having some trouble right now. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy and the Dolphins. A Thursday night game here at Highmark Stadium.
Mike McDaniels.
Sorry, Mike McDaniel.
What did I say?
Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
But he would have struggles, too, if he was still coaching.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, I don't, man, they I don't even where to go with Miami anymore. I mean, they're going to finish last in the division at this rate. So take the Bills.
Bills. Home Saints, the hottest ticket in town. It really is.
Yeah, most expensive ticket.
Try to get a ticket to that game. It's like $300.
Why?
Sunday, 1 o'clock. Nice day.
Love Sunday,
and it's
1
o'clock. It's the only one.
The next one is
really?
November, mid-November.
There's only one other, and it's
nice
November.
Nice warm weather Sunday 1.
Yeah. Yep.
Bills roll.
Home Patriots, Sunday Night Football in the snow rivalry jerseys.
Yes.
So the Vrabel era didn't get off to a good start.
It did not.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Then again, the Raiders are probably a legitimately respectable.
They're probably decent.
They're probably
That's probably an eight-win team. 8-9-win team.
Yeah, maybe more, but yeah.
I thought the Patriots could be like a tough game. I'm going to take a step back because I was not impressed with how they looked against the Raiders. I'll take the Bills to win.
Bills beat the Patriots. Bills at Atlanta. The Falcons looked respectably good.
Yeah.
Michael Penix and Bijan.
Bijan.
Sorry, Bijan. I just had
Bijan
a thought.
Bijan Robinson.
I just
it's
had a
Bijan?
Thought.
It's Bijan.
It's Bijan calling Robinson. Him Bijan Robinson.
I know everyone has he's him. Not quite Derrick Henry, but he's pretty good. He wins in a different way. Just saying, you might want to fix the run defense by the time you play Atlanta.
All right, I'll take your thought and say that's a loss.
Oh, that wasn't my thought.
No, I'm putting that one on you.
Wow, Bills lose to the Falcons.
Folks, that was on Jeremy.
Bills at Panthers.
I'll take the Bills.
Bills. Carolina did not have a good day offensively, but Tet McMillan in week one looked the part. They threw to him a lot, and it worked. Chiefs at Bills.
I'm disappointed that the Chiefs lost. And didn't pull something out of their rear end by thank you to the referees or any of that stuff. Hey, way to go, Chargers. I will take the Bills to beat the Chiefs.
Bills. With that win, I think I've been saying this, I guarantee the Bills will not go to Arrowhead because the Bills would have still one loss and the Chiefs would have at least two.
Probably more.
And they have to run the table to get there.
Right.
And play the Eagles this week, among other tough games. Bills at Dolphins.
Sweep.
Bills, Bucks at home.
I've had that a loss. I wouldn't tell you that I'm super impressed by Tampa, but like I said, there's just going to be one of those games where you think they're not going to lose and they'll find a way to lose it, and that was the one I decided to pick. So we'll go with Tampa winning.
You just love having them lose to the NFC because you feel like it's
that's true. It's
allowed. Bills at Texans.
I'll leave that one a loss for now. Short week. That's tough. Get on the plane Wednesday.
Losses.
That's tough.
At the Steelers.
I cannot pick the Bills to lose to a Mike Tomlin Steelers team. I just will not, no matter what. I mean, the Bills could have half their starters out, and I think morally I just can't live with myself if I pick a lose to the Tomlin Steelers.
Okay.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers did look good. Steelers defense did not.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers defense was trash the other day.
Yeah. Then it's Bills-Bengals. In Buffalo, 425. Before you get this one, I want to give you a couple of stats because these are amazing. Joe Burrow, by the way, I don't know if you know this, he played in the preseason to avoid a slow start. How'd that work? Didn't work.
Not so much.
When the Bills play the Bengals, this is, I don't know if there's another comparison in sports. Burrow in December is incredible. His splits in December, I'm pulling him up for his career because you get Joey Burr into December. Last year, he went 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 115. It's the best month he has. Their record in his career in December is consistently excellent.
Yeah, but what's it in September?
Well, the Bills play them in December.
I know, but I'm just saying, from their perspective,
yeah.
They're burying themselves in the first part of the season.
Burrow in his career by month, September 8-10. October 10-10, November 8-7, December 10-3.
Wow.
Anyway, Bills Bengals in December.
Well, I mean, I was going to pick them to beat the Bengals, but you just convinced me again, so I'll give the Bills a loss.
Wow, why would you do that?
You just told me he's 10-3.
Bills at Patriots.
I'll make that a win.
Bills at Browns.
Way to go, Browns. They did Browns things the other day. Win.
Eagles at Bills.
Loss.
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then Jets at Bills.
Win.
You got four?
Five losses.
Five. Quick question.
Atlanta, Tampa, Houston, Cincy, and Philly.
Quick question for you two. The best offense the Bills will play this entire regular season, was it Sunday night or will it be Philly? Not taking into account could Philly have clinched and they're resting.
Yeah.
Just because if you, I think part of the Bills' defense problems the other night was they're playing, they played the one of the best offenses in the league, period.
Yeah.
Is it the best they'll face?
I'll say, Philly better. I'll say yes.
I think yes. Best offense
until I see A.J. Brown look normal.
Okay. I think that's part of, you know, the giving up the 40 points.
Yep.
We know they've had trouble against Derrick Henry. And Baltimore's offense was one of the best in the league last year, and they had everybody back. So,
yep.
Anyway, don't go crazy unless they look bad defensively against the Jets.
All right. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, boys.
Howard picks the Bills. 12-5.
12-5 for the second straight time.
Disaster. Disaster hits. Team last night. The team on Sunday is not going to. They're going to go 17-0. You're over here a party pooper.
Sorry to be the negative guy.
All right, 803-0550 to chime in here on WGR. Got a fun Twitter poll getting results on this and what you would think the Bills would do on that Ravens 4th-and-3, and I'll explain why there's an argument on either side for what you might think. It's pretty clear it was should have been a go for it. They're getting after Harbaugh on ESPN. That on the other side here on WGR.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.